This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
I was at both Duke's 30-point win against Notre Dame and North Carolina's last-second loss to Virginia from over the weekend, but we've got to talk about NC State. Boston College? Really? Again? You're going to reject what I'm about to say, but hear me out. I think NC State has been a bigger disappointment than North Carolina this year. That isn't to say North Carolina's better than NC State, but I think more disappointing. The reason I believe this is because of a simple rule I follow. I'd rather be disappointed and understand the reasons why I'm disappointed or why something is disappointing than to be disappointed and to be equally confused. It's so much easier to explain why North Carolina's been underachieving than NC State's. It's just so hard to explain it to somebody. Last year, NC State, right on the cut line, they get Markell Johnson back. Oh, the Pack, they're going to be a shoe-in to the NCAA tournament. They're upgrading in the offseason. Here they come into the year. It's a down year for the ACC. It's a down year for college basketball. NC State surely is going to be a part of the field of 64. Right now, it just hasn't been that. Joe Lenardi has NC State not even on the first four out, but the next four out in bracketology. Neither for North Carolina, if you're trying to explain it, it's simple. You go, okay, they lost four starters from last year and Nasir Little, and they've had a ton of significant injuries. Neither of those apply to NC State. That isn't to say they haven't had injuries. Pat Andres, he's going to be out for a little while. He missed last night's game. Markell Johnson, he missed the start of the year, so it got off to a rocky start. DJ Funderburk, he had the suspension at the start of the year. CJ Bryce, he was banged up for a stretch. So I'm not saying there haven't been nicks and bruises along the way, but with North Carolina, Brandon Robinson missed essentially the first month of the year, and he's been out the last week and a half. Anthony Harris out for the season before the calendar turned to January. Sterling Manley didn't play a minute this year. These are guys that we expected to be a part of this Tar Heel basketball team that just aren't there. But NC State, you still have the core of your team, the guys you're supposed to be relying on, and they just haven't shown up. Markell Johnson. NC State needed a lot more from him last night. It's that simple. His stat line, 4 fouls, 6 turnovers in 17 minutes. Only scored 4 points. His final minute was inexcusable. Down 1, turns it over, leading to a home run layup. NC State down 1 again. Couldn't catch the pass. I know you look at the replay, you see that Boston College's player has a foot on the inline. He was out of bounds. The official missed the call, but that doesn't excuse Markell not holding on to it and allowing for an official's call, one way or the other, the subjectivity of it all, to play a result in the play, to have the home run layup put BC up 3 again. Devin Daniels, he was wild on that possession, so I don't want to excuse him completely either, but Markell is supposed to be the guy. The final possession, what's Markell doing throwing it into the paint with 3 seconds left to go in the game? You're down 3. Granted, CJ is a smooth player and smart enough to go beyond the three-point line and not settle for the 2, give NC State a look, but I had no idea what Markell was doing on that play. He hasn't been reliable at all. So trying to explain away NC State is difficult. They have 3 of their 5 starters from last year back. Wyatt Walker, it was kind of mutual for him to transfer out of the program. You felt better about Manny Bates and Andres coming in and DJ Funderburk at that spot. So really, you're only losing 1 starter you wish you had back in Torin Dorn. But Braxton Beverly back. Devin Daniels back. These are guys who have done good things. It's hard to explain why NC State's in this spot. The Wolfpack hasn't beaten a ranked team this year. North Carolina at least took out Oregon. Heck, look in the ACC. Clemson. Not even close to the NCAA conversation. Took out Louisville by double digits over the weekend. Clemson also beaten Duke. They beat a good TCU team out of conference. NC State, 0-2 against ranked opponents. Lost to Auburn, which isn't ranked in the top 10. Lost to Louisville, who just got beaten by Georgia Tech and got beaten by, as I mentioned, Clemson in the last week. And that game was in Raleigh. You lost that game by 20 points. On top of that, NC State lost to North Carolina, too. At home. That North Carolina team. Cole Anthony wasn't even out on the floor in that game.
Ooh.
Memphis was ranked at the time when they met in Brooklyn. Lost that game. Unlike North Carolina, an at-large bid is still obtainable for NC State, though. So if we're trying to spin this positively, the Syracuse win that they got last week, that still qualifies at this moment as a quad one win. Wisconsin got a big win over the weekend. So they bump up to that being a quad one win, NC State beating Wisconsin at home in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. You have three cracks at Duke and Florida State the rest of the way. It starts Wednesday night in Raleigh. Duke goes into PNC Arena. Saturday, Florida State comes to Raleigh. You close the year pretty much at Duke. So you have three opportunities to get another solid win. But I don't think that really matters if you lose at home to Pittsburgh or lose to Syracuse the rest of the way, to Wake Forest. If you lose one of those two games, I don't think the committee is going to look favorably on that. Or if they flame out on day two of the ACC tournament in Greensboro. That's where NC State is at the moment. Disappointing because it's hard to explain. North Carolina, it's easy to explain. So I think NC State has been a bigger disappointment this year. Your thoughts are welcome on the show. You can tweet them at us at SportsHubTriad. Robert Walsh is the producer of this program. Aaron Gabriel in the house as well. 336-777-1600 is the phone number. We're going to cover all bases of the Big Four. Wake Forest legend Dave Odom going to join the show in 25 minutes. His name is going up in the rafters of Joel Coliseum Wednesday night when they honor the 1995 Wake Forest team that finished first in the ACC standings. So we'll talk Deeks momentarily. I mentioned I was at Duke on Saturday. The Blue Devils get their fifth 30-point win of the season. Fifth ACC 30-point win of the season, to further emphasize. And the day after Valentine's Day, Robert, my crush showed up to Cameron Indoor Stadium. Zion Williamson showed up at the under-16 timeout of the second half. And Zion, he summoned Scary Duke. They were going to beat Notre Dame regardless. John Mooney was in foul trouble. You had Durham, who was having a nice game. He was in foul trouble. They were both out of the game. Vernon Carey was dominant. They were up by 17 points, 54 to 37, when Zion showed up. But what we saw in the following 10 minutes after Zion arrived was what I described to be Scary Duke. I don't think they were going to win by 30 the pace they were going, even with the foul trouble for Mooney and Durham. Over the next 9 or 10 minutes, Duke outscored Notre Dame 26-12. The players were clearly putting on a show for Zion. Alex O'Connell, who had 15 in the game, he hits a three, and he does the three goggles towards Zion, who's sitting right behind the bench, and Zion returns the three goggles in kind. Matthew Hurt did a pretty similar thing. They put Mike Buckmeyer in, who was the right-hand man to Zion. He dishes to the Admiral's boy, David Robinson, for a dunk. And it was just a neat moment in the locker room. Zion catching up with the guys. Tyus Jones was down there, too. Had a chance to speak with Quinn Cook briefly. But I had a chance to talk about, among current players, Mike Buckmeyer, and just asked him about how Zion's presence affected the game, and this is what Mike said.
I didn't even realize he was going to come, actually, and then we heard all the yelling and stuff and all that, and started looking around and like, oh, yeah, like, oh, of course, my phone, of course, yeah. So, yeah, it's good to have him back, and I know, like, he just even talking to him a little bit, like, he was just saying, like, the college atmosphere, like, you can't get that anywhere else, especially here at Duke. So I know he enjoys it, and we enjoy having him back.
And Duke won that game without Cassius Stanley in the lineup. Notre Dame had a lot to play for, and still, it is Duke big. Ed in Winston-Salem, really quickly, what do you got for me in terms of a question? Ed, go right ahead.
Yes, Josh, I'd like your opinion, please. Or do you think Carolina is going to flame out tonight like they get against Wake, or do you think it's going to be a competitive game against Notre Dame like they had, you know, the last three heartbreaking games they've lost in Chapel Hill?
Yeah, Ed, I think North Carolina is going to win tonight. I think they're going to build off of what they did against Duke and against Virginia this past Saturday. Remember, they played each other to open the season, ACC games to open the regular season. Cole Anthony had a big day. I really feel Duke broke Notre Dame's spirit on Saturday. North Carolina, I think there are things to take away from Saturday. I really do. And remember, we're going to get to Dave Odom in about 20 minutes. But speaking of those things to build on, I'll tell you why North Carolina's loss to Virginia actually was a positive for the Heels going forward. Next on The Drive.
Hey.
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 This is...
What is this?
The Drive.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You dig it?
Oh, God.
With Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Hot takes, bring them right now. 336-777-1600. This is a segment we welcome your involvement, just as long as you don't bring in a take that we deem to be lukewarm. I want something that your friends have been making fun of you thinking, or something you're just worried they're going to judge you if you say it out loud. Those type of takes at 336-777-1600. Hot takes. Only Aaron's lock and loaded. Robert's lock and loaded. I'm lock and loaded. So let's dive right in.
Crazy.
Let's get crazy. If you have a hot take that we deem to be face-searing hot, you will be rewarded with the following sound. The greatest gift we can bestow on you, the listener. I'll get us started. NC State, tough loss for them last night against Boston College.
We suck.
But they are still in the at-large bid hunt. So I think this is going to happen over the next 8 days. NC State's going to beat Duke Wednesday night and then beat Florida State on Saturday, then lose to North Carolina next Tuesday.
That would be the most NC State stuff to ever happen.
Beat Duke, beat Florida State. Oh, my God. We're great. And then lose to North Carolina and get swept in the season series. NC State, that's what I think is going to happen. John in Winston-Salem, let's get crazy, John.
The Los Angeles Clippers are going to lose to the Denver Nuggets in the first round.
Whoa! How are the Nuggets going to be facing the Clippers in the first round? Do the records match up in any way there, Robert?
I don't think so.
That's a crazy take. I don't know what the crazy part is, that the Nuggets would play the Clippers in the first round.
Pretty crazy.
Or would that happen? The Clippers lose to the Nuggets. If the Nuggets did beat the Clippers in the first round, cancel basketball. Cancel the entire playoffs. Aaron, let's get crazy.
Lots of Astros news going around. The Astros cheating scandal is the best thing to happen to baseball since Barry Bonds.
The best thing?
The best thing.
Why is it the best thing?
Because I have never paid this much attention to baseball in my life. I'm actually looking forward to opening day when the Angels and the Astros play.
It's amazing that this is the place baseball has landed on. People don't care about the transactions. Heck, one of the best players in the sport, Paul Goldschmidt, can go from one team to the other. Mookie Betts from the Red Sox to the Dodgers. We don't care about that. Let's talk about the ways we can fix baseball. How about we talk about ways that the Astros should be punished and what they did. Did they wear buzzers? Who knows? What kind of tattoo is Jose Altuve wearing? What kind of steroids is Barry Bonds in taking? That's a lot more interesting and a lot more fun to talk about. I don't know if it's good for the game, but that certainly qualifies as a hot take. I'm up next. President's Day. It's a holiday today. Did you guys know that? Happy
President's Day. Why are we here?
In the next 5 years, President's Day is going to get moved up 2 weeks to becoming the day after the Super Bowl where everybody gets off work. The best journalistic work I've ever done was asking then-Governor Pat McCrory if he would have a day in the calendar become the post-Super Bowl holiday. Like in North Carolina, would there be a Super Bowl hangover day? He looked at me like I was a lunatic. But I still did the Lord's work in asking that question. I think the only way it can happen is if we kind of mask it with another holiday. So if we do President's Day 2 weeks ahead of time, then it's kind of killing two birds with one stone. Or as PETA would like us to say, feeding two birds with one scone.
Yeah, getting two birds stoned at once. That's the best idea you've ever had. Ever.
Let's get crazy. Scott in Greensboro, let's get crazy. Scott!
Tim Duncan's replacing Danny Manning as Wake's coach, and he's bringing Becky Hammon in from San Antonio as his number one assistant.
Whoa! Whoa! I don't know if it wouldn't be the other way around. Becky Hammon, I think, deserves the head coaching job over Tim Duncan, who's in his first year as an assistant altogether. But there's a thought. Tim Duncan returns to the Joel on Wednesday. Dave Odom says he thinks he's going to be there. He said that last hour. Tim Duncan going to return, baby, be head coach of the Deacons. That's a hot take. 336-777-1600 is the phone number. Robert, let's get crazy.
We all agree that Zion has been pretty amazing so far this year.
I would say.
But not amazing enough to win Rookie of the Year. Well, he's going to do something that's going to help push him past Ja Morant. Zion will record the league's fifth ever quadruple-double with blocks. The last one was in 1994 by David Robinson. He's going to do that before the end of the year and win Rookie of the Year.
Whoa! That's crazy talk! Aaron! The segment is called Let's Get Crazy, Let's Get Crazy, Aaron!
Back in the day, the AFL and the NFL got together to play each other, and they called it the Super Bowl. History will repeat itself as the XFL's champions will play the NFL's bottom dwellers coming up in the next three seasons.
What would we call that game?
The Toilet Bowl.
That wouldn't be much of a contest, I don't think. Would XFL teams beat, say, Alabama or LSU last year?
I don't think so.
That's actually a better question than the NFL question people always ask.
David in Greensboro, you're up next. David, let's get crazy.
The Astros are going to sign Carlos Beltran and Alex Cora out of retirement and win the World Series.
That would be fantastic. Don't they already have Dusty Baker as the manager, though? Like, it would be funny. It would be hilarious if the Red Sox just said they still don't have a manager. Yeah, we'll take Carlos Beltran. Yeah, we got Alex Cora out. I've already seen the rumor thrown out there. The Red Sox, they traded away Mookie Betts because he had 1 year left on his contract, knowing that they're going to get hammered by Major League Baseball this year. So they're just seeing the writing on the wall. Things are going to go badly. And then while Alex Cora's out for a year, they're just going to bring him right back next year. That's the thing they're going to do.
Is that your hot take?
No, that's not my hot take at all.
That was pretty crazy.
336-777-1600. I can't take credit for that. That's just a rumor being thrown out there. Robert, you say you got something. Let's get crazy.
I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood last night for the first time. I was a little late to the party. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it is the worst Tarantino movie since Death Proof.
Whoa! Do you count Death Proof?
Half of it. I guess half of the double feature that he was in charge of. It's been the worst since that, Josh.
I got a movie hot take, too. You ready?
Yeah, fire away.
Here's my movie hot take. Valentine's Day, I watched Good Will Hunting with my girlfriend.
Nice.
Sarah Bradford seemed to enjoy that very much. Will and Skyler, he had to see about a girl, right?
Yes.
They broke up after 1 week.
Oh, come on.
They broke up after 1 week. There's no way the relationship works after he says to her face, I don't love you. And she's on the phone afterwards, giving him a second chance. She's like, I love you, Will. Well, have a great day.
Yeah, what was that voice?
There's no chance. There's no chance that that relationship worked. Like, how does that work? Yeah, take me back. I'm really wicked smart.
I like apples.
Well, we don't know if he likes apples, but the guy who was smarty pants in history in the
book,
Will asked if he liked apples, and he got a namba. How do you like them apples? Aaron, is the well completely dry from you?
It's all dried up.
Robert.
Erasable pens are dumb. You should mean what you write in pen. Get a pencil, you dingus.
All right, we've exercised everything here. We're empty. Running on empty. How much show's left? A little over an hour. I think we'll get there. Multiple hours? What? I'll tell you why NC State has been a bigger disappointment than North Carolina this year. Next on The Drive.
Josh Graham loves to talk sports. He also loves to daydream about sports. Mostly about being the locker room towel boy. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
According to Woj, the Cleveland Cavaliers and John Beilein are in discussions for both sides to part ways. I believed Beilein to be the most underrated college basketball coach of the last decade with the Michigan Wolverines, taking that team to the Final Four a couple of times, losing to the Louisville Cardinals and Rick Pitino in 2013. Oh, wait. The NCAA said they didn't win that national title, so I guess they didn't. Yeah, revoking championships. Doesn't seem to really work. Reggie Bush, he won in 2005, as far as I'm concerned. And Memphis, I watched Derrick Rose play in that Final Four. So I'm going to say they played in that championship game and lost to Kansas. And on top of that, I'm going to say John Beilein lost to the Louisville Cardinals in the championship game. That's a side rant. Since Beilein might be back on the market for college teams to pursue, I've seen more than a few Wake Forest fans say, that's what we need. Danny Manning, he isn't getting the job done. One NCAA tournament appearance in 5 years, and it's going to be 6 years this season unless they pull off a miracle in the ACC tournament. By any standard, that's not good enough at Wake. It just isn't. When you're talking about a program from 91 to 2010 that only Maryland, North Carolina, and Duke had more ACC wins than, it's just not acceptable to go to the NCAA tournament one time in 6 years. There's got to be change. I've said it on this show. I try to be as transparent and honest as I can. If it wasn't for the buyout figure a year ago, I think it would have already happened. I think there are three reasons why with Beilein, though, it's not a fit with Wake Forest. Number one, he would be twice as expensive as Danny is currently. When you look at what he made at Michigan, he drew in $3.8 million with incentives. Danny gets paid $1.8 in change, plus the potential of a buyout close to $10 million. I'm still trying to figure out where Jeff Goodman got the $18 million figure he pointed out at about this time last year. He said, it's going to cost $18 million for Wake to buy out Danny. I still don't know how that works. Wake Forest doesn't have to reveal what the buyout number is or even anything regarding Danny's contract because they're a private school. But even if you count every cent, every dollar on what he's owed over the next 5 years, his contract going through 2025, 1.8 times 5 is $9 million. So it's going to be somewhere between $9 and $10 million if every cent counts. So I think Wake Forest, they're going to get that done. And I think there's going to be a new head coach. But John Beilein's not a good fit because he's just too expensive. Also, he's accustomed to big public institutions with infinite resources. West Virginia basketball and Michigan, that's where he's been the last 20 years. Wake Forest is kind of the opposite of that. It's about making the most of little, doing more with less than it is, we got the resources that's going to blow NC State, Duke, and North Carolina away. Oh, and that's the other thing. You got three teams in your state, two of which that are public institutions with lower academic standards that can welcome in better talent in your backyard, so you really don't even have quite a recruiting base to go up against. On top of that, two of those schools have Hall of Fame coaches too, and Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski you got to recruit against. So Wake presents a different set of challenges. It's small, it's private, but that doesn't mean the problems can't be solved. Dave Clawson's figured it out. Olympic coaches have figured it out. Dave Odom, who was a guest on today's show, figured it out. Skip Prosser did. So I think John Beilein being at West Virginia, big public institution, and being at Michigan kind of eliminates him as a fit for this place. Lastly, he's 67. Now, I'm not being ageist here. Remember, Mack Brown was around the same age as well, and it was a good fit at North Carolina because that's a place that has a ton of resources. Public school resources, people behind it, people excited. And we saw what that did last year. It was a perfect fit. He was familiar with that place. He understood what makes North Carolina tick, the opportunity that you have playing at North Carolina. He had won there before. He's a Hall of Fame coach. North Carolina could afford him. This is different. Wake Forest is going to be a full rebuild, unlike North Carolina with Mack Brown. By the time Beilein could turn around Wake, he's probably going to be 70 years old. So, understanding Danny Manning is still in place. Regarding his status, I would say it is likely Wake Forest is going to move on. That's not based on anything in that building, other than looking around the Joel Coliseum and seeing a place that was once one of the toughest places to play in basketball being often two-thirds empty. That and the standard that Wake Forest should hold itself to, and John Curry understanding that about as well as anybody, leads me to say there's going to be a change there. If that happens, I'm going to throw out two names right now. Two names that I think are picture-perfect fits for Wake basketball. And one's here in the triad. Wes Miller. Got ties to Wake Forest in addition to playing at North Carolina. He's energetic. He could breathe life into the program. He's somebody who has head coaching experience and built himself up at a lesser mid-major school. And I say that with all due respect to UNC Greensboro. It's just not the same as the ACC and everybody knows it. That move makes sense. For Wes, it makes sense for Wake Forest. It is the inverse of Danny Manning. You got a young guy, energetic, not a household name as a player, even though he did play for the Tar Heels. That would make sense. But the name I like the most is this one. Russell Turner, 49 years old, UC Irvine. He was once on Dave Odom's staff as an assistant in the 90s. And he spent 6 or 7 years coaching in the NBA with the Golden State Warriors. Very successful program at UC Irvine. Understands Wake Forest. Still a younger guy. NBA experience, too. Those are two names I'm going to throw out there. We'll talk with David Glenn about NC State's chances of making the NCAA tournament after losing to Boston College at Chestnut Hill last night. But I've been pushing this off for quite a while. My car has Christmas decorations on it. My office has Christmas decorations all in it. And I don't quite know how to feel about this. If you remember back during the holiday season, I said I hate Christmas decorations on cars. We all share the road. Please don't make me look at your car with the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer nose on the front of it, deer antlers, the whole nine. Aaron recreated the Trey Jones shot in less than 15 minutes, which was our bet. So I'm a man of my word. I wasn't in the parking lot when it happened, but when I saw my car, I was mortified. Robert, how do you care to describe what my car looks like at this moment?
And just so everybody out there can know, let me paint a picture of what Josh looks like. He was looking out the window like an old man whose family doesn't come to visit him anymore. He was so sad looking down at his car. I attacked the back of it very quickly with some magnetic reflector Christmas lights. It looked like the lights that are on a Christmas tree.
Wait, what do you mean reflecting lights?
So when somebody is behind you at night while you're driving home, say even tonight, they will see the light from their car reflect off of the Christmas lights on the back and the side and
the
hood. We put some
range. How much did all of this cost?
That was handled by Jenny. I'm not into the budgets. That's
this
not
looked
me.
Very expensive.
It was extravagant, to say the least. So we got the antler horns on your back windows, so it looks like you're Rudolph. You have a red nose on the front.
Are antlers horns?
Horns, yeah. Antlers, horns, synonymous one another.
I didn't know.
And we also have elf legs sticking out the back of your trunk, so you look like you are some kind of murderer of some sort.
Am I going to get pulled over with this?
No! Well, you keep saying that. Why would you get pulled over?
It's pretty suspicious having a car with reflective Christmas lights on it, an elf.
What crime are you suspicious of? Oh, this guy's definitely running drugs.
It's just a sketchy thing.
This guy's
like, I'm
going to
stand out. If anything, I'm going to stand out.
Yeah.
Right? So I like to float at 8 miles an hour over the speed limit.
See, that's dangerous even.
Well,
I thought the rule was 6.
I have people say that. Nah, man, if you're not going faster than 15, you're good. There are some people who say more than 10. So I float at 8. Am I good at 8 while having Christmas lights on the car with elf legs hanging out and also deer antlers in February?
I think the only way you get pulled over is if there's a cop behind you and one of your antlers flies back and smacks the hood of his car. That's the only way.
Or if there's a missing persons report for an elf.
Oh, yeah. Then you're definitely getting pulled over.
I just hope people aren't honking at me. Because I'm going to forget
that's
while in
the
I car.
That's what I wanted, was a honk if you love Christmas sign. But we did not get that.
So is it just going to be honk if you love the drive?
It's just honk. Just keep honking.
So if you see an idiot with reflective Christmas lights on his car, antlers, and a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer nose on his car in the Triad, also driving to and from games over the next 2 weeks.
It's going to grow on
it's
you.
It's me.
It's going to grow on you.
It's not going to be hard to figure out who's driving that car.
By the end of week one, you are going to be so in love
with
this.
This is so embarrassing.
You're going to be a Christmas year-round guy.
This does sound like a really bad TLC Christmas movie. This guy was a Scrooge who hated the holiday spirit. But then he got Christmas lights implanted onto his car and a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer nose and antlers. Ah, this guy's now got the holiday spirit.
Could I be the magical black person in said movie?
Oh, you had to break the segment down.
No, that's a fact. You got to have
but
a magical black
person.
Person.
Do you have a favorite magical black person in movies?
John
mine's
Coffey.
Bagger Vance.
John Coffey.
Oh, mine's, I guess it's, is that Sinbad movie real? You know they say the Mandela effect where Sinbad is a genie? Is that real or is it Shaq? That's my, either one. I'll pick either one as my magical black guy.
No, like, I mean, what was Bagger Vance's, like, superpower? Like, he's just, here's this guy who knows everything and he just so happens to be black. Will Smith.
Or
why'd you say Will Smith like that? Like,
because he's been that guy in so many movies. He was Will just Smith. In Aladdin last year. Albeit he was blue.
He was a magical blue person.
Ooh, right. Adam Sandler's putting coach and Billy, or no, God, what is his name? He's got the fake hands.
Oh, you're talking about Happy Gilmore. It's Chubbs.
Yeah,
Chubbs Peterson.
He's also my magical black guy.
How much damage did NC State's loss to in Chestnut Hill do to the PAC's NCAA tournament hopes? We'll discuss with our early afternoon host, David Glenn, next.
Now, I want you to be calm. Don't get too excited, but...
This is The Drive.
He likes to kiss and cuddle.
Be warned, this is extremely graphic. So if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
Back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
Once upon a time, I used to run one of those recruiting sites for East Carolina. So I had to talk to high school recruits, and we had to do those star system evaluations. Is this kid a 3-star, a 4-star, or a 5-star? And I feel like that is starting to become an outdated way of looking at things. And I understand that sites like Pack Pride, Inside Carolina, Demon Deacon Digest, they're bigger than ever. But I feel like for this one time, as that's something that we generally don't really cover on this show, I feel like I can go back to my roots in having a similar evaluation with our next guest, David Glenn, our early afternoon host, because he is on his way right now on a recruiting visit with his daughter, Avery, going to South Carolina as they, I'll call it an official visit. They're heading tomorrow to try and see if that's the choice for Avery. So, DG, what's the prospect breakdown for Avery Glenn, who's getting set to make her official a visit with the Gamecocks?
Well, good to be with you as always, Josh. It was great to see you over the weekend. Avery is in the car next to me right now. I think she has signed all of her privacy disclosure papers so we can share all this personal information. She does love several in-state schools, including App State and ECU and UNC, but she likes several SEC schools, including South Carolina. As you said, we're almost there. Georgia and Florida. She also applied to Florida State and got in there. So there's a lot of moving parts, but she is an in-demand young student, and she'll probably even play some club soccer wherever she goes. She's a singer on top of it. So there's a lot there to want, as I have learned over these 17 years as her dad.
As a father, are you concerned the state of North Carolina schools can't keep the fence up from the SEC teams trying to come in and poach our talent?
You know, it's funny. Every year on National Signing Day in college football, it feels like I started covering this stuff in the 80s. I was always mourning, you know, why can't more of our in-state football teams keep those players? For whatever reason, the top basketball players do seem to stay in-state. Since Avery is not going to be a varsity athlete, she is going to be more student than athlete, I am not as concerned about building the fence around North Carolina. So whatever is best for her, I will be okay with. And it could be ECU. It could be App State. It could be somewhere out of state. We'll see.
Follow him on Twitter at David Glenn Show. Listen to him noon to 3. Darren Vaught will be pinch hitting for DG tomorrow afternoon. How much does last night's loss in Chestnut Hill change NC State's outlook moving forward for you?
Only a little bit, as strange as that sounds, right? I mean, the best part of the Wolfpack's resume, as strange as this sounds, the last I looked at the Quad 1 category, there are only 2 ACC teams that have winning records in Quad 1. And everybody would probably guess Duke, and that's correct. The Blue Devils are 5-1. In games that the NCAA Selection Committee describes as the most challenging, which is depending on whether you're home or away or neutral site, they have a formula for that. Well, Duke's 5-1, and guess what? NC State's 4-2. And if the Wolfpack beats either Florida State or Duke this week, they would add another Quad 1 win, with both of them visiting PNC Arena. So it doesn't help that you lose at Boston College. If you end up squarely on the bubble, some of these, you know, heck, even the UNC loss at home can haunt you a little bit, with the Tar Heels in dead last place in the ACC right now. But I do think that big wins over great opponents can even outweigh some of your ugly losses. So it was a small step back, but I don't think the Wolfpack is dead yet. If a week from now you and I are talking and the Wolfpack didn't either beat Duke or Florida State this week, well, yes, then we can start talking about the NIT and really the bubble bursting in terms of the big bracket of the NCAA tournament.
We were hanging out at a Hurricanes game last night, and this weekend the big news really across the state of North Carolina was that The Hurricanes are finally getting the outdoor hockey game, the Stadium Series game that will take place in Carter-Finley Stadium February 20th of 2021. And when I look at this state as a hockey market, DG, growing up in this state, North Carolina, yeah, it's passed every test along the way. Competitiveness, two Stanley Cups, two Stanley Cup appearances, one win, I should say, two additional Eastern Conference Final appearances. They hosted the NHL draft. As I mentioned, a couple Stanley Cups, the All-Star game in 2011, now the Stadium Series game they're getting. The support and longevity, Mike Sondheim of the Carolina Hurricanes PR department tweeted this out today. Last night's game that we were at is the 10th sellout the Hurricanes have had this year. That is the most sellouts in a season since the 2008-2009 year, and they had 10 that year. There's still a month and a half left to go in the regular season, right, so the Hurricanes could still continue that momentum moving forward. How significant of a milestone is this most recent headline for the Canes and this state as a hockey market?
It's a big deal. You know, you just listed a lot of great things there, and I would start the list with winning big. As everyone...
Let's get DG on a better connection.
Irrelevant. Winning makes you sustainable, especially in what we call the non-traditional hockey markets. But the other stuff matters too. You know, the world descended upon Raleigh for the draft and for the All-Star game. And it won't quite be the hockey world for the Stadium Series next year, but the partnership between NC State and the Carolina Hurricanes has been a strong one. Obviously, Wolfpack men's basketball shares PNC with the Canes. And you just kind of do a little magic, turning a hockey rink into a basketball court. Right across that parking lot that you and I walked across last night is Carter-Finley Stadium. And to this point in the history of not just the Stadium Series, but what we call all the outdoor games, the Winter Classic and all the rest, there has never been an outdoor hockey game sponsored by the NHL in a southeastern United States market. They're almost all in the colder markets, occasionally way out west. But this is it. This is a first. And Tom Dundon worked his tail off with his staff to make this happen. We don't know the opponent yet. But just as those other things were important landmarks, because it's a reminder that we don't always have to just raise our hands and say, hey, don't forget us. Don't forget about us over here. The little Hurricanes down here in Raleigh, just because we're a smaller market and a non-traditional hockey market, one by one, the winning again first, but also those other draft, All-Star game, and now Stadium Series. This has been in places like, you know, Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. It's been in places like in Chicago, one of their big venues, maybe two of their big venues, come to think of it. So it's neat for state. It's even better for the Canes. And I think it's great for hockey fans all across the market that, as you said, is going really, really strong right now after some ups and downs over these last two decades plus.
Last thing for you, DG. I'm just going to pose the poll question that we have to you on Twitter at SportsHubTriad if you want to vote on this. You're a season ticket holder with the Canes. On top of that, you're somebody who has covered the ACC for more than 30 years. Hypothetically, if Duke North Carolina played each other the same day as this Hurricane Stadium Series game, what would gain priority in your mind?
Oh, man. You know, my favorite law school test answer was, it depends. I used to start many of my Blue Book style essay answers.
Okay, it depends. Four McDonald's All-Americans for North Carolina next year. They're back, and Duke has the number one recruiting class and might have some guys from this year's team back as well. So they're both ranked in the top 25. It's in Durham.
That makes it harder. You know, I think because I have never been to an outdoor hockey game, and I have crossed almost everything else off my sports bucket list, and I've been to more than 50 Duke Carolina games dating to the late 1980s, I think I would do the Stadium Series. It would hurt if both teams are good a lot more than it would have hurt, say, this year when I sent a member of my staff to Chapel Hill.
How did that go?
Only to learn it was a thriller. but, yeah, I'm a lifelong hockey guy. And I'm spoiled when it comes to Duke Carolina because I've seen so many and covered so many. But, yeah, that we might not get another Stadium Series game in my lifetime. So I know I'll be able to get to see two or three Duke Carolina games pretty much any year.
I hope you and Avery enjoy Columbia. I hope I wasn't the worst house guest you ever had this weekend.
Oh, no, man. You were great. Maria sends her regards. So does Oliver, of course. Bark, bark. Always good to see you, my friend.
You got it. That's David Glenn. He's on Twitter, @DavidGlennShow.